Call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. Today is February the 18th. It's 9 a.m. Joining me today are Chairman Stedman and Olson, Senator Keel, Senator Merrick, Senator Kaufman. Senator Cronk is excused and is on other state business today, and myself, Senator Hoffman. So we do have a quorum to conduct business. There is one item on today's agenda, which is the update for the 2025 statewide salary report presenting from the administration. Is Paula Varana, Commissioner, please come forward, identify yourself for the record, and bring anyone else that you might want to assist you in the presentation this morning. Please identify yourself and proceed with your report, Commissioner.
Good morning. Thank you. Good morning, co-chairs and members of the Senate Finance Committee. I'm Paula Varana. I'm the Commissioner of the Department of Administration. With me is Amy DeVaris, the Director of the Division of Personnel. We also have available with us on the phone Brittany Patsky, who is the Classifications Program Manager for the Division. We are pleased to present an update on the statewide salary study and the efforts underway to update the state's salary and classification structures. For a brief background, the executive branch has over 14,000 employees across its 15 departments, and these employees fall into over 1,000 job classes. In 2023, the legislature appropriated $1 million for the state to perform a statewide salary study that compared benchmark jobs across the executive branch to similar jobs in the public and private sectors, with the goal of evaluating the competitiveness of our salary structures. In 2024, the state engaged the HR and benefits consulting firm Siegel to conduct this study, which was finalized in April of 2025. The study evaluated base pay across 404 benchmark classifications across all State of Alaska job families and bargaining units. The findings and recommendations of the study reinforce the need to improve the state's pay structures, address gaps where they exist, and increase agility to respond to market changes and refine our compensation systems to better attract, retain, and reward a high-quality state workforce. Among other things, the findings also revealed that 72% of our benchmark jobs are at or above market when looking at the 50th percentile. When we look at the 65th percentile, 57% of employees in the benchmark jobs are at or above market. And the current pay range for police, firefighters, and corrections, legal, judicial, and related, and craft and labor occupational groups is consistently at or above market. Given the comprehensive and complex nature of this undertaking, after evaluating the findings of the study, it was decided that the most advantageous path forward would be to explore what avenues are available to assist the state in applying the findings of the report. We specifically wanted to explore what it would take to implement a comprehensive modernization of the state's classification and pay plans, and what contractual assistance may be available. To do so, the Division of Personnel issued a request for information, or an RFI, in December. The request for information, RFI, which closed on February 2nd, sought input from qualified vendors on potential approaches, tools, and methodologies for designing and implementing a revised State of Alaska classification and pay plan. The Division of Personnel has begun reviewing the information and recommendations provided by respondents, which will be a critical contributor to our approach moving forward. While these efforts have been underway, the Division of Personnel has continued to work through several other efforts to update job class and pay structures across the state. The classifications team currently has 9 job class studies underway and is actively implementing a major IT job class update. As mentioned previously, the salary study revealed we have a lot of room for improvement, not only in compensation for specific job classes, but also for how we manage classification and pay as an organization. Going forward, the division is developing and implementing a strategic classifications maintenance plan that will reshape our classification and pay structures across the state system. This plan, along with a better resourced classification team, will help to shift classification away from one-off ad hoc studies so they can begin a more strategic and proactive approach to statewide classification management. To be clear, there is a lot of work ahead of us, and I want to help reset expectations while we are here today. This undertaking is significant. It is complex. It will take time, and it will be costly. We must be methodical in our approach. So we will continue to work through the process and take the steps necessary to ensure the best reasonable outcome that balances the needs of the organization and the various constraints we face as a state. My hope is that these collective efforts will truly allow us to better recruit and retain talent and, as a result, be a stronger organization that is better equipped to serve the interest of Alaskans. With that, I'll hand this off to Director Tavares to begin our presentation. Thank you.
Senator Keel, questions for the Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a question for the Commissioner. I guess it's helpful to get maybe just a little bit of a baseline on the table about some of the terms we're using. One of the things in your opening comments, you said that the study showed our pay for a number of job classes is consistently competitive in the market. That may not be an exact quote, but you mentioned correctional officers. And I think it was only 2 weeks ago that we had the Commissioner of Corrections at the end of the table saying it is just not possible for all their efforts to hire enough correctional officers. They just can't get staffed up. So if our pay is consistently competitive, how come we can't staff up DOC?
Commissioner.
Through the chair. Thank you, Senator. I think that what our study has shown is that our corrections officers are competitively paid compared to market. I think there are many other factors that would enter into the consideration of our recruitment and retention of corrections officers. I would defer to the Department of Corrections and their commissioner on what their recruitment and retention challenges are specifically, but we are able to speak, you know, from the perspective of the salary study at their competitive rate of pay.
Senator Keel.
Well, thanks, Mr. Chairman. I think it's a challenge that we face, and I think we've heard from over the time from a number of departments that they're really having a hard time, and many of them have the perception that in the past when we've done things like hiring bonuses, it's helped them at least bring people on initially. Which suggests that there's a dichotomy, there's a disconnect there, between what the study may say is market competitive pay and what it takes to bring people to the job. It's interesting to have a study that says it reflects the market, but the market is sending us the opposite signal. That's where I'm a little confused.
Thank you, Senator Keel. We will go to the Director of Personnel. Ms. Tavares, please identify yourself for the record and give us the presentation.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Amy Tavares. I am serving as the director of the Division of Personnel under the Department of Administration. Thank you very much for the opportunity to brief you today. There we go. Commissioner Verana touched on some of this during her opening remarks, so I'll move quickly through some of this introductory material just to set the stage for the discussion. The statewide salary study was launched following a legislative appropriation in FY24 of $1 million. It was a multi-year appropriation to account for the large scope of the project. The primary goals of the project were to increase applicant pools for State of Alaska positions by making the state a more competitive employer and to identify potential cost savings for job classes where the state is over market in its salary structure. The study, published by Siegel Company, was finalized in January of 2025 and published in April. The study provides valuable insight into how the State of Alaska base pay compares with market benchmarks. The Siegel Company's recommendations focus on modernizing the state's classification and pay plans in a manner that is equitable and agile to changing workforce needs. The study showed the majority of our employees in benchmark jobs are paid at or above market in comparison to the market median, as well as the market leading rate. The study also showed us where we have job families that are 10% or more under market. The report highlights the complexities of the state's current classification and pay plans, particularly the challenges posed by broad pay structures that group diverse occupational roles under a single pay plan. The structure limits the state's ability to make across-the-board changes. To move the initiative forward, the Department of Administration issued a request for information, which was open from December 18, 2025 through February 2, 2026, to gather input from qualified vendors on timelines and costs associated with implementing structural changes to the state's classification and pay plans. The request for information was developed to be responsive to Siegel's findings and to help the state take steps in that direction. The department understands that large-scale updates to the job classification and pay scales are the optimal solution to the state's complicated system and will position the state for being more equitable and responsive to workforce needs. I'd like to go through a short description to define the terms we're using in the discussion today because they have caused a little bit of confusion in the past. The statewide salary study was an external market study which focuses on pay levels and compares the state government's salaries with external benchmarks in the public and private sectors. The goal of an external market study is to ensure pay is competitive and fair to attract and retain talent. It's used to determine how to adjust pay ranges or structures based on market data. Job class studies are what we do to ensure routine maintenance of the State of Alaska's classification plan as required by the State Personnel Act. They are focused on job structure and classification accuracy, looking at job descriptions, duties, and responsibilities to ensure they align with the correct job class and pay range within the system. The goal of a job class study is to maintain internal equity and compliance with the classification system. These are used to update job classes, specifications, and pay range assignments within the system. In other words, salary studies answer the question, are we paying competitively compared to the market? And class studies answer, are jobs internally aligned and classified correctly? If we decide to undertake a classification and pay plan redesign, this would not be another study. It would be a large-scale project with the goal of streamlining the state's job class definitions and updating occupational groupings to enable alignment with an updated pay scale or structure. I'd like to talk briefly about what we learned from the request for information, which closed just about 2 weeks ago. We received several response packages, and the spread was wide, both in detail and scope. Our goal was to gauge the viability of a large-scale project to redesign the state's legacy classification and pay plans. And we did receive packages from vendors indicating it is possible to outsource a project like this. Across the responses, public sector experience was common, and several firms shared links to published information about their work in this area, classification system work in other states or major cities and counties. Some vendors also demonstrated awareness of our bargaining obligations. We also saw innovation potential from online position description system modernization to salary administration software and automatic market reviews. Some responses included market analysis work Siegel had already delivered, so there's some potential for redundancy there, but that could be addressed in a request for proposals if we move forward with that. While the broader effort to advance on the statewide salary study is underway, the state is implementing its completed IT job class study. The IT study was initiated in 2020. The purpose of the study was to update the state's IT job classes, which have long been recognized as out of date and difficult to apply to contemporary IT work, and replace them with new ones that reflect the duties, responsibilities, and required skills of the current workforce, and which have been mapped to our current pay scales. The implementation is underway with the first phase rollout scheduled for April 13th, 2026. The modernization impacts over 600 positions through all 15 state agencies. In addition to the IT job class modernization, we have 9 job class studies actively underway at the request of state agencies to address recruitment and retention issues they have identified. The 9 job classes being worked on now are for park rangers, Alaska State Commission on Human Rights, human rights field representatives, community care licensing specialists, vocational rehabilitation, public assistance field services, forest and fire management, emergency services dispatcher and emergency services supervisor, forensic laboratory administrator, and forensic scientists. 2 of these studies address job classes that are currently represented in the salary study as 10% or more under market, and that's the human rights field representatives and the forest and fire management.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Ms. DeVaris, I guess 2 questions. The first is, some of those I think you said are underway, but I think I may have seen increments either in the governor's budget request or governor's amendments to fund them already. Are they all underway, or some of them done?
Mr. Reese.
Through the chair, thank you, Senator, for the question. So, I mean, we are implementing the new IT job classes. That is in the FY27 budget. The other class studies are currently underway, so they're not completed yet.
Senator Keel.
Thank you. I'll double-check my memory there. In terms of the ones that are underway, did we use this salary study that we got last year to inform where we started the work? Are we driving the new studies based on the places that we found with this study that we're farthest behind?
Mr. Vries.
Through the chair, thank you again for the question, Senator. As I move a little bit further into the presentation, I'll talk about the strategic maintenance plan that we've developed that Commissioner Verana spoke about in her opening remarks. That is our planned way of moving forward so that we're able to use the salary study results as well as a lot of other considerations like additional retention and recruitment challenges. We'll use exit surveys. We'll use the complexity of the study itself to determine how to have a more robust, predictable cycle of studying job class families rather than just the classes themselves. So we're in the process of adopting that type of maintenance strategy rather than doing the more ad hoc individual requests coming in from departments. We really need a better way of prioritizing the work, and that's how we can better integrate the results of the salary study in our planned maintenance of the classification system.
Senator Keel.
Mr. Chairman, can I just double-check my understanding by saying it back and inviting the testifier to correct me? Not yet, but you're gonna?
Ms. DeVries.
Through the chair, that would be a simpler way to say it. I can say, though, of the 9 job class studies that we have underway, I mean, 2 of those are in the below 10% of 10% below market category. So they, you know, there's some consideration already being applied, but at the moment, in the last, you know, several years, we have been responding to requests from departments, and that's how the work has been, you know, scheduled and put into a queue.
Thanks,
Senator Keel. Thank you, Senator Keel. Mr. Rees, please continue.
Okay. So I started to talk about this already, but we're at a point where we're moving out of the status quo. So instead of working on a queue of requests for generally smaller job class studies driven by the needs of individual departments, we will take on a more disciplined internal approach that updates the classification plan by job family on a rotational cycle. It will use clear criteria, the salary study results, recruitment and retention pressure, complexity of the study itself, and where job class misalignment or obsolescence is the greatest. This will allow us to plan more impactful changes but spread those costs out incrementally by budgeting by family or occupational group and making that more predictable. It will also allow us to leverage institutional knowledge, maintain cultural buy-in, and give us the space to engage the unions. We're also working with OMB and the governor's office to consider options for accelerating the modernization of the state's classification and pay plans, such as issuing a request for proposals for a plan redesign project. And that's what I have for you today.
Senator Kaufman.
Thank you, Chair. This process, are we at risk of redesigning for the past? You know, government is notoriously slow-moving, often hits behind the target, or if they even hit it, they're hitting tail feathers and not the main part of the issue. Studies that I've done indicate that workforce is going to change rapidly in the future, especially in the area of mental task workers, information workers, because of the continuing deployment of AI systems. And I wonder if we're at risk of designing a government for today rather than a government for tomorrow in terms of workforce requirements. An example is the term computer came from what actually used to be a building full of people doing calculations. And now a computer is a thing that sits in your pocket or even smaller. So I'm just wondering how informed, how future-proofed will the operation to right-size, to redesign, to reimagine the state workforce be, particularly in the area of information or mental task workers?
Mr. Rees.
Through the chair, thank you, Senator, for the question. It is a very insightful question. I tend to agree with you. In the government, we have a slow, methodical approach to change. That is just an artifact of the way we do business, the way the budget process works, the way, in the case of a contract, we do requests for proposals and then, move through that contracting process. I believe there are ways that we can address the challenges that you specified in a request for proposals should we go with a contractor for a redesign of our plan. I also think it's something that we can, we can consider if we take the slower approach, the more strategic maintenance plan, that'll have a sort of natural you know, cyclical refresh of the way we're looking at the workforce. But, I mean, your point is well taken.
Senator Kaufman.
Thank you. You just follow up. I think any part, particularly these days, any plan has to have, you know, that future-proofing analysis so that it doesn't take much of an inquiry into with a good AI to say, okay, give me a five-year timeline, a future perspective of the societal or economic or, you know, task requirements for this particular area, and start to at least get some kind of look at where at least the systems that are evolving are thinking that we're going to be. And I suspect that's probably understated at this point. I think there's going to be an interesting and potentially very rocky, you know, 5-10 year period of adjustment. Who knows what comes after that?
Mr. Rees, do you have a comment to Senator Kaufman?
Through the chair, thank you. I agree. It's a consideration that we'll be struggling with as we move forward with this plan and other things that the state is doing.
Thank you, Senator Kaufman. Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you help me a little bit? Because we've got this study out, and it's open to the public, and then we've got negotiated labor contracts that are ongoing. Last year we absorbed several updates into the budget system, and I would imagine there's more coming. So help me sort out the difference between the negotiations that are underway to help fix this issue in front of us and this study and how they mesh together.
Mr. Rees or Commissioner? Mr. Rees?
Through the chair, thank you for the question. Yes, there are a lot of different things that come into play in establishing compensation for the state's workers. The salary study really looked at base pay, and then at all of the other things that happen to pay within the system are added on to that. So the geographic differentials, for example, and overtime and other other premium pay, all of those things are negotiated, and those would be on top of the base pay, which is what the salary study addressed.
Senator Stedman.
It's still not, you know, I'm not a personnel guy for good reason, but I'm still a little confused on about when these negotiations take place, if they're escalations of 3-5% or whatever they are, steps over the next 3 years. Do they facilitate some of these adjustments here, or do you have to lift everybody up? I'm not quite sure how that works.
Ms. DeVries.
Through the chair, thank you for the question, Senator. If I understand, I think you're asking more about the labor relations process and how those negotiations go for the contracts. And that is, I mean, that is very much separate from the conversation about you know, competitive rates of base pay for Alaska. The base pay is set in Anchorage, and then there are a lot of adjustments that are made geographically. There are also a lot of adjustments that are made for, you know, overtime, premium pay, who's eligible for that. Those are the kinds of things that are negotiated.
Senator Stedman.
Maybe I'm thick-headed here this morning, but I would think if I was working for the state and my position was 10% under market, I would want to negotiate the 10% gap and close it. Otherwise, I'm still 10%. And why wouldn't I then go work for Brand X? That would start me at 10% higher, plus all the other stuff that you added on top of that. So I guess I just have challenges with the concept because I'm not familiar with it very, as you can see, very much.
Mr. Rees or Commissioner, could you respond to the 10% gap? Mr. Rees?
through the chair. Thank you, Senator. I I think the best way to answer that question is to turn back to, you know, the strategic maintenance plan that we will be adopting. So, you know, we will be looking at the job families that had, you know, more than 10, that were more than 10% under market. That will be one of the considerations that'll be made in terms of how those job families may be updated and the pay realigned. There are other factors we have to consider, though. We do have to consider recruitment and retention. We have to consider, the things that we learn from exit surveys. Sometimes people really love their job and they stay in it, and the compensation is less important. Other times, no matter how much you pay someone, if the work doesn't fit with them, or they, the work is very difficult. We have higher turnover rates in some of those types of positions, and it's not independent of pay, but pay isn't the silver bullet solution.
Thank you, Senator Steadman. Mr. Vries, how did the study view letters of agreement for increases in the base pay? The letters of agreement?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Through the chair. So you're referring to letters of agreement with the union over with the unions to add specifications to compensation. Those were not included in the salary study. That is something that would would happen. It happens independently through contract negotiations.
So you view them as separate?
Yes.
And then is there an estimated cost to move forward with a systematic update of the state's classification plan? Commissioner?
Through the chair, thank you for the question. OMB has estimated that there will be an implementation cost of $93 million at the 50th percentile and $180 million at the 65th percentile. And it's important to note a couple of things that each job family with multiple job classes will need to be evaluated down to the individual position prior to actual implementation. And it's also very important to note that these are recurring costs. This will be recurring costs, not just a one-time investment for the state.
There are two areas. You know, we're the Finance Committee here, and we've seen two departments that are experiencing, I'd say, high rates of overtime. The one that Senator Keel had mentioned was corrections, and the other is public safety. How do we get a grasp on controlling those costs? When you have a state trooper that is earning double time and he increases his salary by 100%, how is that viewed? How can we control those costs? It seems as though these two departments need some attention above and beyond the commissioner's level. And I would say that it should fall on the administration to work with those commissioners to address this. What is being done?
Thank you, Chair. I would point to again, the understanding that the salary study really addresses only base pay issues. So when we're talking about the salary study, it is focused on only base pay. I think when you talk about issues of, you know, extensive amounts of overtime pay and areas like that, I think that your point about perhaps addressing that with those specific departments and how we tackle those challenges may be the best approach. But the salary study really only addresses base pay issues.
Understanding that the problem persists and is increasing every single year. It would seem to me, as it does Senator Keel, that maybe the base pay that you're looking at isn't really accurate because the costs that we're seeing have a direct effect, and we are seeing supplemental requests by these two departments that are exorbitant, in my view, and I don't see them declining. I see them increasing on a yearly basis. So I think that something needs to be addressed, and there needs to be some communication and work by the Department of Administration to look at these two particular departments, because we can't continue on this course. This is one of the reasons that we went forward with the study. We need to manage the personnel that we have effectively and efficiently. I wonder if you might comment on that.
Are we
managing those departments effectively and efficiently, in your view, in light of the increasing cost to the state as they come forward to this committee in monumental supplementals?
Thank you, Chair. I really want to point us back to, you know, the salary study serves as a tool for us to begin the conversation about pay issues, beginning with base pay. I think when you talk about budgetary overruns or, you know, large supplemental budget requests, I mean, those, I believe, should be handled through the budgetary process. But I think when we're talking about what the Department of Administration's role is in terms of the classification and pay plan, it's really to begin that conversation with a base pay conversation. So I believe the Department of Administration's role is to establish a classification and pay plan that looks at base pay as its focus, that we develop an agile system that considers those factors. And when it comes to departments that may have significant budgetary overruns, that those are perhaps addressed in the budgetary process with those particular departments.
Senator Kaufman, then Senator Keel.
Thank you, Chair. I recall in some earlier legislation I was looking at when I was a House member, there were some survey results. I think it was with Department of Corrections, maybe Department of Public Safety, I'm not sure, but it showed a broad spectrum of dissatisfaction with everything from equipment condition to housing, you know, related to occupational, you know, needs, management issues. That there was a whole host of issues that people were dissatisfied, and I don't know if that was a survey or if that was the product of exit interviews. But is what I'm asking: do you have compiled data from exit interviews or from some other means that of what it is that you know, if people are leaving, what's the driver for it? I know there's assumptions, there's information, but it'd be interesting to know departmentally what you've gathered.
Mr. Vries.
Through the chair, thank you again for the question. Senator, the Division of Personnel does collect exit interview data as people leave the state, leave state service. We share that information. It's collected monthly, aggregated monthly, and we share that information with the departments that that it applies to. We also we keep it and summarize it on some routine basis. I haven't. I've just joined the state in the last 4 months, so it hasn't come to me in. You know, as a summary report yet. That might be an annual thing we do. I'm honestly not sure how often, but that there's information that we could certainly get back to you with.
Senator Kaufman.
Thank you, Chair. I think that would be valuable policy information, you know, for folks making policy or considering, you know, how you're going to restructure or what you're going to do. So I think that would be good information to surface.
Senator Kaufman.
Thank you. On a different subject, so going back to, you know, what I was saying about the potential changes in the future, do we have any kind of long-term view of payroll? If we're looking... If we're looking at changes and we're going to manage changes, do we know where we're going? So is there a rolling payroll forecast that's produced? So right now we're at status quo with the staff we have, with the pay that they're receiving, and, you know, some internals on that, how many are at what base pay rate or how many are at others. But then looking into the future of how many and how much, and with some kind of forecast so that we can look at what that would be. Is that anything that is a work product that currently exists for kind of managing towards an ever-evolving future?
Commissioner?
Through the chair, just to make sure I understand your question, is the question that are we forecasting anticipated overall payroll cost for all state employees over the next several years? Is that what your question is? I believe those expectations and that analysis probably is occurring through the Office of Management and Budget. We could probably get that information for you in terms of expected payroll costs in future years. Yes, I believe we could
Senator
get that
Kaufman.
For you.
Thank you. I think that would be interesting. And then if that could be integrated with the other issue that we were talking about, of the potential technological impact on information and, and mental task workers, I mean, I don't see it changing corrections. I don't see it changing public safety. You know, the boots on the ground jobs, I don't see it changing. But I do see that there's going to be a divergence from, the current norm relative to the number of people needed for the work to be done if there is an enterprise level of implementation of AI-type tasking done to supplement what people are doing. So, again, if we're going to work on all this, there's a couple things we need to know of what does that payroll curve look like if just projected on what we know now. It's like a Monte Carlo analysis almost. So is it going to go down or is it going to go up for the payroll expectations that we have for the state going forward? Thank you.
Commissioner, do you have a response to Senator Kaufman's statement?
Thank you, Chair. Through the chair, I believe we could get you those forecasted amounts to help you in this analysis. We can get back to you on that for sure.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Senator Kaufman. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think you'll find a lot of agreement at the table that we definitely need to modernize our classification system. I might not come down in the same place as the senator across the table from me about whether skilled hands are getting more skilled, I think repairing the new road graders takes a couple of computer classes, and being a building maintenance tech now, you've got to have SCADA system stuff that I can't even spell. The old classification plan that you've inherited in the last 4 months has one-person job classes and unpopulated job classes. Good luck. So I'd like, if I might, especially with the commissioner, to explore timeline on some of these concepts that we've talked about here today and that you've presented to us. I apologize. This study that we have in front of us, I think, was put out in April of this last year. And it was for 8 months later that I think this request for information hit the street. Gave it a good 3 month soak. One of the things that was requested in the RFI was what kind of timeline a contractor might need to design us a new system. I'd be interested in what kind of responses you got and what your expectation is, because that doesn't always match the responses. And then what your expectation is for the state's next steps. Are we looking at movement before this next December?
Commissioner?
Through the chair. Thank you, Senator. I think we can, and Ms. Tavares may be able to speak additionally about some of the aspects of the timeline that we're anticipating, but I began my comments with letting this committee know that we are trying to reset expectations on a timeline. This is most certainly, a multi-year endeavor. This is a significant, complex, methodical process that we will be moving through. This is a journey. This is this is really the beginning of next steps, having this study available to us and serving as an important informational tool for us. But I do want to send the message clearly that this is a significant project. This is a complex project, and it will take a significant amount of time for us to implement, even with contractual support. So I'm not sure, Ms. Tavares, if you have any anything to add to that.
Ms. Tavares.
Through the chair. Yes, thank you, Senator, for the question. We've been asked to not be too specific about the responses we got to the request for information so that we don't, impede on the competitive process should we go to a request for proposals. But I can say that, if we went through the contracting option, I would anticipate a similar time frame to what it took to produce the salary study itself. There would be quite a bit of interaction with Division of Personnel classification staff as well, and we would largely have to set everything else aside to work on this, and then the implementation of a totally redesigned classification system would follow that. So we're looking, at a matter of years, not months, for something like this.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. That's helpful in terms of beginning points for a process of years. Do we have an expectation there? When might we take the next step?
Commissioner?
Through the chair. I think as we've outlined in Ms. Tavares's presentation, we've begun the strategic maintenance plan. We are moving ahead. We are using the salary study as an informational tool to set the stage for next steps. So I would say we have begun, and we are using the salary study as a tool to inform decision making as smaller decisions are made and as larger decisions are made. So I would say the work has begun, and that's through the strategic maintenance plan that we covered this morning.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Commissioner. And you know, we're sort of talking about three different things, right? We're talking about the strategic maintenance of the system we've got now, and I appreciate that that's ongoing, and that's good work. We're talking about ongoing contract negotiations, which the senator next to me mentioned, right? And that's ongoing, and that's important work. But then we're also talking about designing something new, and that, it sounds like, is maybe, I guess I'm not hearing urgency. Am I interpreting that correctly?
Commissioner?
Through the chair. Thank you, Senator. I think what we could point to in terms of that, we have the request for information, information that we have received that is being evaluated now. It is currently under review. Decisions will be forthcoming in terms of next steps for that. It may be that we issue a request for proposals. That may be next steps. So I would say that next steps in terms of the reorganization of our classification and pay system are still under consideration.
Okay. One last one, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Keel.
Thank you. Commissioner, you said in your opening comments that the transformative work is going to require a better resourced classifications group. Director, you said that if we actually work to transform this from the archaic dinosaur that you and your predecessors have labored under for a long time, you're pretty much going to have to set aside everything else. We have a strategic maintenance plan going on, so we don't want to set aside everything else. Order of magnitude. You are not authorized to submit changes to the governor's budget. I'm not asking you to. Looking ahead, when this gets rolling, what are we talking about? What kind of resources?
Commissioner?
Through the chair, we are considering adding additional resources internally within the structure, you know, within the resources that we currently have operating within our current budget. We are considering better resourcing, adding resources to the classification group currently tasked with this project. So that is under consideration and will likely be moving forward with that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Keel. Are there further questions of the commissioner from the committee members? Seeing none, do you have closing comments, Commissioner?
Thank you, Chair. I really don't. I appreciate the committee's time today. We're happy to follow up or respond to any additional questions that the committee may have at any time. So thank you very much for having us today.
Thank you for that presentation. That concludes the agenda for today. Our next meeting is scheduled for tomorrow, Thursday, February the 19th at 9 a.m. We'll be hearing from OMB on amendments and responses from previous committee questions. With that, we are adjourned.